Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
It's Fan Mail Friday. Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. And with me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. Every once in a while, we like to take the end of the week to go through some of the mostly emails that we have received from Mormons who are not too happy with some of the things we have either said or as a whole don't like what we do. And so today we are going to be looking at an email that comes to us from a guy that uses the moniker Hitman. But here's the problem I have, Eric. His subject line is sorrow. Now, after we go through what this gentleman, Elder Green, is how he signs it at the end, does it really sound like he has a lot of sorrow for us? Or does it sound like he has nothing but contempt for us?
Well, and he's not apparently able to get to sleep because this is at 2:23 a.m. So this is something that...
We're really bothering him.
Apparently so, and he wants to explain. I don't know if it's his sorrow or ours, but this is what he writes. I served in the Kentucky-Tennessee mission from September 1971 until May 1973, then was sent to the Nauvoo mission until September 1973. I feel sorry that you were never truly converted. For reasons unknown, you felt the need to search for a religion that more closely matches your own beliefs. You read the scriptures but fail to grasp their true meaning, even though they are all simple to understand. Which part of my religion were you unable to live? Which commandments were you unable to live? Wow, when you pass through the veil of death, it will become obvious to you how wrong you have been and how you totally wasted your entire life by embracing a false religion. Satan has deceived another. Answer if you like, but I won't read it. I will delete it.
Well, let me stop there. Answer if you like, but I won't read it. I will delete it. Now, the Mormons claim as part of their scripture, the Bible. And one of the verses that's in the Bible that we often use is what? 1 Peter 3:15, mm-hmm. about how we are supposed to give an answer of the hope that lies within us and to do it with gentleness and respect. Yep. That's part of his scripture also as a Latter-day Saint. But notice what he says. Answer if you like, but I won't read it. I will, capitalized, delete it. Now, if he was really concerned for our souls, if he's going to send at least this much, you think he'd at least want to engage and hopefully show us where we made our mistakes. But you will notice in this entire email, I don't see a long list of bullet points of where we got it wrong. And he also does something else as you're going to read on. He assumes that we at MRM are former Mormons. And none of us are.
Yeah.
So he makes an assumption that's entirely false. In other words, he doesn't even take the time to read at least my testimony that's found on MRM.org because I explain that I was never a Latter-day Saint. And I think there's other articles, too, where we kind of hint to that. But he doesn't even do the basic research, and yet he draws this faulty conclusion that somehow we're Mormons.
Because he felt it was true. He assumed something. What else could he possibly be assuming that might not be true either? He goes on and says, what were you doing all those years in Sunday school and priesthood meetings and sacrament meeting? You certainly were not paying attention. Why didn't you ask questions? Were you wearing headphones and listening to rock and roll or hard rock at church? Your own priesthood was given you by the laying on of hands and can be traced to Jesus Christ. But now, that doesn't matter. Please remember my name. I look forward to our discussion on the other side. I will die a proud member of the one true church. No one can shake my faith. It all fits. It all makes sense. But your new beliefs? Total confusion. Reread the scriptures on the apostasy falling away. Why would Christ call apostles if, after he was crucified, they were no longer needed? Persecution is one of the signs of the true church. Please, keep it up.
Okay. Wow. I'm going to have to repeat what he said. Wow, with capital letters. When he talks about us not listening to sacrament meeting and having headphones and listening to rock and roll or hard rock at church, wait a minute. We have asked the hard questions. We've talked to many Latter-day Saints. We've read many primary sources from books written by LDS leaders. If anybody should know what the Mormon Church teaches, it should be the leaders. We've gone to those primary sources, and we struggle with what they're telling us. Now, when he says our new beliefs, I've been a Christian how long now? About 4 decades. Doesn't mean that I believed and understood everything the first week I became a Christian. No, that's true. But I think I've held on to these beliefs for a pretty good amount of time during my life, and the same goes for you too.
Yeah.
But when he talks about total confusion, reread the scriptures on the apostasy, falling away. Why would Christ call apostles if, after he was crucified, they were no longer needed? Now, wait a minute. I think, Elder Green, I'd like to turn that question on you, because you believe that the apostasy came after the crucifixion when Jesus did have these apostles, but yet Mormonism teaches that the apostles and prophets were all killed off and not replaced. Now, you would think by this sentence that they should have been when they were needed the most. So I would ask you that question. Why would Christ call apostles if after he was crucified they were no longer needed? Why didn't he?
Yeah.
That's a good question.
It is. Yeah, and he uses the last sentence of that paragraph with persecution is one of the signs of the true church. Please keep it up. Who's persecuting whom in this email exchange? I mean, he's telling us that he wants us to remember his name so that he can look forward to meeting us in the next life. And yet,
so he can do what? Thump his chest and prove to us he was right and we were wrong. Isn't that a violation of Alma 5, that if you have any pride in you, you're not prepared to die? You need to be stripped of all envy and pride?
What kind of missionary would that be? He calls himself still Elder Green, which is, you know, obviously a title that he has having the Melchizedek priesthood, but that's usually reserved for missionaries on the field. You don't normally go around and say, my name is Elder Green. A good missionary would want a person to accept the gospel now. Isn't that what he was trying to do in Kentucky and Tennessee and Nauvoo during those years, many years ago, 1971. So we're talking.
He's got to be in his 60s.
Yeah, this guy,
probably in his early 60s.
Yet being a missionary is wanting other people to accept now and not having the boastful attitude of, I'll see you in the next life.
He also makes this other fallacy that we hear a lot of Latter-day Saints making, and that he is misunderstanding the big difference between disagreement and persecution. And yes, we do disagree with Mormonism, and we've explained our disagreements in print and on the web and in our broadcasts here. But how does that equate to be persecution merely because I disagree and I ask questions, the very thing he thinks I'm not doing? I'm actually doing that. But you see, I can't win in this situation, because if I do ask questions and if I do present my case, I'm immediately accused of persecuting the one true church, when I don't think I'm doing that at all. I'm merely asking these questions because I would like some solid answers to these questions.
Is it possible you are wrong, Bill, that your view of Christianity is wrong?
Is there a slight possibility that it could be? I'm open to that. I could possibly be wrong.
Isn't that the attitude that not only you should have, but also the Latter-day Saints? I mean, obviously, we can't provide empirical evidence that there is a God and that the gospel that we believe in is true, but we have what we call evidence. But we need to have that open-mindedness. It doesn't sound like this gentleman is very open-minded. He knows he's going to die a Mormon regardless of the information. Even if you try to send him information, he'll delete it. Well, this is not the kind of attitude that I hope, if you're a Latter-day Saint listener listening to us here, you may disagree with us, and we're okay with that. We're not expecting you to accept everything that we have to say. But what we are saying is, lay it on the table. Here's what Mormonism is. This is what we are using from Mormon leader quotes and from their own manuals and writings. And this is what Christianity says. And choose whichever one is the better choice, but don't just have a closed-minded attitude.
Well, when he says, no one can shake my faith, I don't know how many times I've had Mormons come up to me and they'll say something like that. And they'll also say something like, Mormon forever. And my usual response is, well, I know a lot of ex-Mormons that used to say that.
And that's true.
Because a lot of Mormons say that at a certain point in their life as a Mormon. They're pretty confident that what they believe is true. But as they grow up and they mature and they study a little bit more, they start to see these cracks in their faith. Then a crevasse. I mean, and then it becomes so huge they can't ignore it any longer. And so many people come out of the Mormon church, not because of the reason that this person is implying, that somehow we just wanted to go find something else and maybe go live a hedonistic life or whatever, but because they really could not reconcile the teachings and doctrine and the history of the Mormon church with what is really true.
He goes on and concludes this way. One last point. Eternal progression makes sense. We all have the right to try and improve ourselves every day. Perfection is the result eventually. What does your religion teach will happen to you after death? One girl I worked with said she'd be happy holding a palm frond forever. Give me a break, all caps. She's a born again also. And then he concludes by saying, I wish you well, Elder Green.
Well, it's that usual false idea of what heaven's going to be like. And of course, this guy, no doubt, wants to be exalted. He wants to have eternal procreation as part of the package. He wants to probably be a god of his own world, as many Mormons do believe. And so the idea of worshiping and being at the feet of Jesus doesn't appeal to him like it would appeal to us. And my argument to that, my response to that would be that the reason why Elder Green doesn't see sitting at the feet of Jesus throughout eternity or being in the presence of Christ throughout eternity with the same amount of joy that we see is probably because he doesn't have the same relationship with Jesus that we have.
Maybe he ought to look at Mormon 7:7, which says, and he hath brought to pass the redemption of the world, whereby he that is found guiltless before him at the judgment day, hath it given unto him to dwell in the presence of God in his kingdom, to sing ceaseless praises with the choirs above, unto the Father and unto the Son and unto the Holy Ghost, which are one God in a state of happiness, which hath no end. I mean, I don't know what the palm frond quote is coming from, but a lot of times Mormons will stereotype the harp being on a cloud, and that's not what we teach. But notice what Mormon 7:7 says in the Book of Mormon.
I wonder if Elder Green has read Mormon 7:7, and if not, maybe he needs to go back and look at that a little bit more carefully, and perhaps if he did, he might not want to write that last sentence that he gives to us, or next to last sentence, and maybe he would want to retract that, but anyway, we wish him well.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. In his second letter to the Thessalonians, Paul wrote, pray for us that the word of the Lord may speed ahead and be honored. We at Mormonism Research Ministry hope you will likewise pray for us that the word will go forth and be glorified. Pray for direction as we seek the Holy Spirit's guidance as to where God wants us to focus our attention. Pray for wisdom that we might have the right words to speak to Latter-day Saints who are struggling with their faith. Pray for the physical and spiritual health of our staff and families. Pray that, as a ministry, we are able to meet the financial obligations that naturally accompanies effective ministries. Pray for opportunities to educate fellow Christians who may not feel confident when sharing their faith with their Mormon friends and loved ones. We hope that you will also pray for the entire body of Christ, that all of us will have a greater love for those who are lost, and that this love will give us a sense of urgency to share the message of grace that sets the captive free.